For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Wow. How do you come out and beat that? Ali, John, don't we have the best worship? Yeah. You guys doing okay tonight? Yeah, I had to bring Tom out here, and didn't he do a great job last week? Yeah. I just got to brag on our young talent. I get to be with this guy every Sunday at the Northwest. He leads worship. We do ministry together, and there's nothing better than that. There's nothing better than seeing young men, young women come up in ministry. So I just want to say I did a great job last week. So proud of you guys. Yeah. So, you guys know what the score is? Astros 2, Braves 5. So, yes. We're all the Dodger fans, right? He has a Dodger jersey right there. We got nothing better to do to come to church, right? Yeah, we should have won, right? I'm teasing. And you know, all the Astro and Brave fans, you guys are watching the game. So, it's a good night. Anytime you're together and you're getting worship, isn't it a good night? Do you know that they do that all day long in heaven? They worship God. Now, I'm talking tonight a little bit about heaven, and I started thinking some ideas about, you know, when you get to heaven, you get to be with Jesus. You get to worship all day long. You get to be with your loved ones. You know, you get a new body. And young guys and gals, that may not mean anything, but old people, what do you say? Amen. We really get excited about that, so let me pray this. Father God, just anoint tonight. Give us a spirit of open ears and spirit. God, there has to be two things. There has to be some speaking and there has to be some hearing. And then there has to be some doing. Pray, God, that your word just says, don't be just a hearer of the word, but be a doer. So I pray, God, that this message would just catch and stick wherever it should, through the internet, through the marvels of technology. And I just pray, God, as a message tonight is a power of a made-up mind, you would anoint our minds to hear what you're saying in Jesus' name. Everybody can say amen. Yeah, that's what I came up with tonight, is the power of the made-up mind. You know, as I was thinking about this message, because I am going to be in Philippians 1, chapter 1, verse 21 through 25, I was thinking about Paul when he wrote these letters. Paul was in prison, and it wasn't because, you know, he requested it. I mean, they're sending him to Rome to be there because he requested it. But he's under house arrest. I don't want to be in my house all day long, right? I was under quarantine for COVID. Anybody out there join me? I was calling up. I mean, my wife, my kids, we were Zooming from home last March, and it was just, you know, there's a rock in my backyard that will never have a bigger significance than after the first week when both my daughters came back home. I went out and sat on the rock. My wife came out, and we started talking, and my oldest daughter came out, and she goes, what are you guys doing out here? I go, we're kind of talking. We're getting alone, you know? And she was like, well, we done something? I go, no, you guys are in the house. We're going to talk alone. She goes, should I be here? I go, no. We want some alone time in our yard. And so we just talked about having four adults inside of our house. You know, so I don't want to be anywhere that I don't have to be all the time. Because I'm a connector. I like to be out. I like to be talking to people. I like to be doing things. So Paul is in this situation where he can't go anywhere. And he has two things on his mind because he is a prisoner of Rome. He knows that they have the authority to let him live or kill him. So he's faced with this each and every day. And I was thinking about the circumstance he's in and how circumstances affect our lives, don't they? I mean, we're all living under this. We get bombarded with it. But my daughters have challenged me to do something. I have one of my daughters lives in Nashville, and she works for a company that produces a lot of video content. So she's talked to me about getting on TikTok. Anybody on TikTok? All the old people? Come on, seriously. How many old people are on TikTok? Get on there because I'm on there. My daughter talked to me about getting on TikTok. And what am I doing on TikTok? I can't dance. I can't sing. She goes, but Dad, she goes, but you've been looking for a new platform to do devotions. I go, I have. She goes, this is the fastest going platform to reach people. So it took me about 2 weeks just to figure it out, just to get it. And about a week ago, I think I got it. So I'm on there every day now doing our daily devotions. So if you want to look it up, it's under Morning Pump and it's under Tom Touchstone. But it's hit a nerve because, you know, it's a great resource because I want to be where people are, right? I want to be where people have maybe not have heard of Christ or maybe pushed him aside because it's available to us. So, but as I was figuring it out, I was in a bad mood. You may get there when you're starting to do something new. You get in a bad mood. My wife goes, why are you in such a bad mood? I go, I can't figure this out. She goes, why are you doing it so hard? I go, I just feel that the Lord's put it in my heart to do it. My daughter's challenged me to do it. And so I did it. So sometimes when you, you get into circumstances, maybe they're good or bad, it affects the way you treat other people, doesn't it? So I was thinking about Paul and his circumstance, and I was thinking about them. And so I even started to note with Paul being in prison in a house arrest that he knew God, and he has seen God move in his life. He knew kingdom principles, and he was there, and I've got to believe it was affecting what he was thinking. He knew his salvation was secure. He knew that. You know, one of the helmets, the pieces of armor that we get to see in the Bible is the helmet of salvation. Do you know that the helmet was an important piece of armor? Because if somebody whacked you in the head, that's where you're, that keeps your thinking and your knowledge. So that had to be secure. We have to know that our salvation is secure. Paul knew that. Paul knew that, and it's funny because Paul, you know, theologians will argue about these things, but he was about 30 when he had the Damascus Road experience. So he grew up in a different religion, and then all of a sudden he was converted. Did it make a difference in any of your lives that when you knew salvation, it changed everything you thought about? I looked at everything different when I knew about salvation, and it is in Acts 22:16. It says, and know what are you waiting? It's now what are you waiting for? Ananias, the guy that led Paul to the Lord here in the scripture, says, get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name of Jesus. Romans tells us to be saved, we have to believe that he came to this earth, walked around, died, and was resurrected the third day, and believe that in our heart, confess it with our mouth, we're saved. Paul was saved. He knew that he had salvation through that. It's an important piece of armor. In Philippians 1:21, Paul starts out. This is where we're starting tonight. Chapter 1, verse 21. If it doesn't come up, it's okay. In it, it says, Christ is everything that I live for. That's what Paul's saying. He says, if I die, that will even be better for me. So Paul's having this, you know, kind of this thought process. You ever have two thoughts? You can't contain two thoughts, especially two thoughts that are against each other, right? He's saying, I live, Christ is everything for me. But if I die, I'm gonna be okay too, because he understands eternity, right? He gets it that that's the game. Every one of us who gets saved, we're putting our faith in Christ for eternity. It's great to have this life on this earth, but this is what Paul's talking about. I don't know if you're old enough to remember when they used to talk about, if you're a Christian, is there enough evidence out there to convict you in a court of law? And I started thinking about that, you know? Because in court of law, they need what? Eyewitnesses, right? So they need an eyewitness that would say, I see Tom carrying his Bible. I think that he's a Christian. Well, I see Tom going to Starbucks and do devotions with people. I think that's a Christian. I see Tom at church. I think that's a Christian. I see Tom serving and helping others. There's enough evidence to convict you that, yeah, Tom is a Christian. This is where I think everyone has to go. Because it isn't what we say, what is it? It's what we do. I mean, I did a devotion the other day. We say things all the time, but actions speak louder than words, doesn't it? I mean, and what are the people judge us on our actions versus our words, right? My mom used to tell me all the time, Tom, you say you're going to do it, but you don't do it. You know, you don't mean it. So that's it. As you're a Christian, he says, Christ is everything I live for. And if I die, it's going to even be better for me. You know, sometimes I think this. When Pastor Ron was first diagnosed with cancer, we were doing a church in Porterville, and the leukemia. And I was sitting out, we were closing up the church in Porterville, and I asked Pastor, because I was, you know, 5 years in the ministry, probably 7 years in salvation. I told him, I go, Pastor, I go, watching you walk through this, man, I go, I can see how strong you are. When did that start? He goes, I've needed every trial up to this one. I've needed everything I've been through to get me there. So sometimes when you stare a health condition in the face, it kind of puts you on that page. Look at, we're in Job right now, right? Old Testament Job. What did Satan tell God? He said, let me touch his body. You touch a man's body or a woman's body, and they're worried about dying, they're going to curse you and die. Job didn't do that. But isn't that what happens to us? I know. Remember when my wife has a hybrid Crohn's. She's the number one patient at Cedars-Sinai. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but Dr. Targun presents her all over the world because she has a hybrid Crohn's. They really don't know what she has, but her body responds to Crohn's medicines. They removed her colon 20 years ago. But as my wife one night was facing, you know, death, she's like, Tom, I can't do this anymore. And I was like, well, honey, well, you need to. She goes, I just do so much. And I just know that through salvation, my eternity's secure, and I just can't do this anymore. And she told me something there, and I always get my wife's permission to say this. She told me something. She goes, so listen to me closely because this is a woman I want you to marry. I was like, what? And she goes, well, I'm not going to give you her name. I'm going to describe her to you. And I was like, coming from a woman, you know, who's getting ready to go to surgery, I was like, you're kidding. She goes, no, because if I don't come out, I want to know if somebody's going to be able to raise my girls. So these are my restrictions, and if you don't, I'll come back and haunt you. I don't know if that's the but she didn't, and the next day she woke up. So get this, about 3 years ago, we were driving back from L.A., great appointment from her doctor. She goes, so I want to update something I told you. I go, what'd you tell me? She goes, if something happens to me, I told you I wanted you to get me remarried. She goes, I don't want you to get remarried. I want you to stay single now. And I was like, why the update? She goes, the girls are raised. They don't need anybody to raise them anymore. So you just stay single. You have a problem with that? I'm like, no, but why are we talking about this? You know, it was just one of those moments. But when you have eternity in mind, it makes things like that easier, right? You know, I mean, it wasn't like we were joking about that. And I don't want to joke about stuff like that because I've done two funerals for two friends of mine that died of COVID this year. I don't want to joke about it. But eternity, the Bible says, and if you're out there and you've lost a loved one, and you're out there or you may be losing a loved one, the Bible says that we grieve, but we don't grieve as those with no hope. We see them again in eternity. That's what's awaiting for. That's the thing that Paul is struggling with here. He's saying, you know, I get it, I've lived my life for Christ, but if I die, that's a gain. He goes on to Philippians 1, chapter 1, verse 22. It says, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I don't know. You think that he's a confused man right now. He's not really that confused. He says, I see the benefit in living on in the world because this means fruitful labor for me. And this also means that if I die, I go to be with Jesus. I get to see him face to face. He goes, I don't know what. And a lot of people will disagree about words, but in the Greek word here for die, it is to live is to be among the living. He's saying to live is to be among the living. I get what I'm saying. He goes, I'm not just making it metaphorically. I'm saying if I live, I'm going to be fruitful. But if I die, and this is the Greek word for die, is apatheno. It says to die is separation that goes without with the dying off. It's like I'm dying. So he's getting it. He's not saying I'll just, you know, think that I'm something's dying. He goes, I will literally live to be fruitful, or I'm going to die, and I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm going to enjoy heaven. It's kind of a visual for me. I've done hundreds of funerals up here where I'll go out and I'll just kind of appear into the casket, and I'll see somebody that's dead versus me that's standing outside, and everybody's here to visit them. There's a difference between those two. That, I always tell people, that's an earth suit. You know, the spirit goes to heaven, goes to enjoy heaven, eternity with God. But us that are still in the flesh, we should live on. So Paul's got this thing going back. He's not confused, but it's the power of a made-up mind that I'm okay if I live and I'm okay if I die. I talked to so many non-believers, don't get that. I did a funeral one time years ago, and this person must have been so close because when the funeral was over, she fell on top of the casket and the casket collapsed. was up at Green Lawn, up by the mouth of the canyon. And the mortuary person says, this is a tough part for me. And I thought about it because that person, that body was all that person was connected to. You know, I've lost both my mom and dad. I've lost friends. I've got a relationship with them that I believe as I've done my best to plant seeds in their life that they came to salvation. And I'll have some more opportunities to be with them. Paul knew that death wasn't a defeat. It was a graduation. He knew that. That's something that every Christian needs to get, because guess what? Every one out of every one person dies. And what do? I tell people, you're living and you're breathing. Wouldn't you want to put as much investment into eternity as you do on this earth? I used to use this statistic, and I don't know what it is now, but I think the number is probably pretty correct. People throw big numbers around nowadays, trillion, billion. But I used to know that NASA spent billions of dollars on spacesuits. It's for a human body to live in an atmosphere that's hostile to our organic material. So they spend billions of dollars to do that. So when an astronaut goes out into the space or the atmosphere or lands on a planet, that they survive. Now, wouldn't it be worth something to invest into our spiritual eternity? You know, coming to church, getting involved, just doing something. I tell that to people all the time. Point number two is, don't let your emotions mislead you. When you're having to make up your mind or have a sound mind, emotions can really be a tough thing. I get it. I'm telling you, Paul's balancing the fact that he's been to heaven, and he says, heaven's the most incredible experience you'll ever imagine. So I don't boast in myself. Satan gave me a thorn in the flesh. So he's living on this earth, and he's saying, when I'm weak, I am strong. So then he's also been successful for people. So he sees success on both sides of this thing. So you can't let your emotions run. Paul's having a balanced mind. I get it. Last year when I had my heart issue, I mean, I've told this from the pulpit. I'm not afraid of saying that. I lost all confidence in myself. But through Christ and a lot of things, I'm back up here able to speak to people nowadays. And I got an internet show. I mean, through God, all things are possible, right? I had doubted myself, but emotions can mislead you, because I was thinking, oh, I'll never do that again. I was frightened. I thought, I've told you guys this. I was worried I was going to have a stroke or a heart attack. You know, it was in my mind all the time, and the devil made sure I remembered it, right? Well, I'll tell you this. I haven't shared this a lot. I shared it at Man Cave with a bunch of guys. What can't guys share with guys? Right, Dinger? So I told the guys, when my wife would leave the house, I would ask her to leave the front door unlocked, so when the paramedics came, they wouldn't have to break your front door down. I told her that. You know, she would leave. She goes, I left the front door open. And she kept telling me, Tom, you're not going to die. But I felt like I was. You know, I did. I really did. And so, but Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10, it says, the heart is hopelessly dark and deceited, and a puzzle that no one can figure out. Do you ever figure that out with your emotions? I mean, you just up and down. But I, God, search the heart, examine the mind. I get the heart of a human. I get to the root of things. I treat them as they really are, not as they pretend to be. God can get to the root of it. I mean, how many times you go, I'm fine. I'm good. I remember when Pastor Ron and I, we've got a show that we're doing together. And one day I've got to get him to talk about him and I working out together. Because I mean, if you've been around us, we've done some man caves. He wanted to work out with me. He goes, I'd like to work out with you. And he lasted about 6 weeks. And he would get mad at me because he would get down on a piece of equipment and he would do it. So if we were doing 10 reps, he would like do a weight that he could do 20. So I started figuring this out. So when he, remember that, Johnny? I used to do that with him. So he'd get there and he would get down and he'd be facing and I'd move it down about 4 plates. And so he'd do it and he'd get back up and he goes, did you do that? I go, yeah, you're just dogging me. You know, you're stronger than that. So he started going, yeah, but I'm sore all the time, you know? I remember one day we went through a leg workout and I came in the old sanctuary and he goes, Tom, wherever you are, I can't even hardly walk. And it was funny because I was like, well, yeah, because now you're really working out. So I'm just saying, you know, emotions can get to you as far as keeping you, and God knows what's in the heart. I knew that he had more. I just knew it. So I would mess with him. I don't do it anymore because he's my boss. Back then, he wasn't my boss. But Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petition and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concern. So if you've got this you've got this emotions going on in your head, and you're trying to make some decisions that mean a lot, you could do it. I mean, your decision shouldn't be fear-driven, because God's not in fear. Can't be guilt-driven. And if it's emotional, it won't last. I tell people all the time that if you have something in your heart, give it 5 to 10 days, take it to prayer. If it's of the Lord, it will get stronger. If it's not, it'll usually get weaker. A lot of you guys know, and I've shared it from the pulpit, my wife and I were considering, and we still are, you know, down the road, moving to Tennessee. My daughter lives in Tennessee, and my other daughter lives in Irvine. And so we had thought about that, you know. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people moving, and I talked to Pastor about starting a church back there. And so I was back there, and when I shared it from the pulpit that when I was back there, I just didn't feel that it was time. I even called Pastor Ron and said, I don't think it's time. When we got back, my wife got a new job, which is going to keep us here another 4 years. And so I was sharing with some people that today when I opened up the fire starters, I don't know if you guys read the fire starters, it's Pastor Ron's new daily devotional. I think we've had about 2 or 3 years. In today's fire starter for us, it was talking about taking risks. My wife and I have been on the same page, and we read it. Kind of tunes us up the same page every morning. But in it, it talks about us praying for my daughter, Taylor, to get a new job. Last time I was in the pulpit, I was sharing that we were praying for my daughter to have a breakthrough in getting a job. She was applying for all jobs. She was actually going to get out of her profession. My daughter's made a living from her tennis racket. She was a great tennis player in high school. She went on to have a very successful career in college. She went on to coach at college, high school, and she's a tennis pro. And she made a great living with her racket, but she had 3 jobs. There was no benefits, and she's turning 26 this year, so she's going to not be able to be on our benefits. So my wife and I were praying that she would get a job and one job that would have benefits with it. And so as we got back from Nashville, my wife and I said, we don't feel it's that. My wife got a new job, kind of stuck us around. I'm never leaving Valley. I'm never doing it, but I'm always open up for new journeys. And so as that happened, my daughter 4 weeks ago got an incredible job at a university. And so my daughter, it's a prayer request. But today, it's in the devotion today, a year ago, we started praying for that. 1 year. 1 year in timing that it took. Now, she got her job about 4 or 5 weeks ago, but it's got benefits. It's only one job. I didn't realize it, but she had called all the coaching jobs and the country clubs she's coaching. She goes, I'm done. I'm working one job. I said, well, you need to put 65, 70 hours in the job you have now, which she's doing. But it was a year of prayer. But as I'm saying this, my wife and I were struggling with just the fact of Tennessee. Then all of a sudden it was like, no, sink into California. And then my other daughter, she goes, I don't know if Tennessee is ever going to happen. So there's timing in these things. So as Paul's sitting here saying, I'm not sure if I should live or die, we're making decisions not that you might be there today, but you're making other decisions, right? You have to have a sound mind when you do it. Philippians 23, it says, I am torn between the two, to live or die. I desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. 24, but it is more necessary for you that I remain. Paul is now saying, this is what I'm going to do, but it took a but. You know, I don't know about you. My second point is that you have to think strategically. Strategically, the definition I'm using tonight for strategic is in a way that relates to the achievement of a long-term or overall aims and interests. I just shared the story about my daughter, my moving to Tennessee. When I get to a point like that, my wife and I have a couple little simple things we do. We're pretty simple with our Christian faith, both of us. You know, we came to Christ new, and so we listened to everything that came from this pulpit, and that's all we've ever known, and that's all we've ever implemented. And so in Proverbs 19:21, it says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Next verse. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways submit to him, and he's going to make your path straight. That means there's a lot of times that as you look down the road, you just have to basically trust the Lord. But my wife and I, we have 2 things that we do. And this one is mine mainly. If we come into a trial, and I just started doing it after the girls left, I used to go and open up the front door And whatever the trial was, is if it's like financial, I say, hey, finances, come on in. Or if it was a car bill, come on in, car bill, sit down for a while. Because the Bible says, consider it all joy, right? When various trials come upon you. Might as well make them uncomfortable if they're going to be there for a while. They're supposed to teach us something. So I'd always just do that as a habit. And I'd say, hey, Tiffany, let's make them the guest of our house. Because I want to kick them out as soon as I can. I don't want them sticking around longer than they're supposed to. But I also have one when I come into decisions. Do you ever talk to yourself? Well, I used to talk to myself when I was young and I was unsaved. But now I think I'm talking to the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me. This word but in verse 25 is a transitional point. But he said, but if I live on, it's for your benefit. So I do this just, you know, and I do a little metaphor. Do you want me to show it to you? Come on. So I'll take a problem and I'll walk around and I'll just say, but, and I look around it, I turn around, and I go the other way. Those are my transitional moments for me, and it's easy. So I'll take an idea and I'll start talking about it and I'll walk back and forth until I believe God gives me something, or maybe a toehold, or maybe just a little idea that I didn't have before I started that, and I do it. But I talk to myself. I just, you know, because you know, sometimes you ever visualize something or, you know, and you say, oh, that didn't work, we go back. I do that a lot with my conversation with my wife. I did today on TikTok, I did the power of apology, because on Sunday night I had to apologize to my wife. And we went into something and she went into the room and I go, that didn't go well. Tried to sit down, and what's the Holy Spirit doing? Say, get up and go in there, right? Anybody been bugged by the Holy Spirit with something like that? I'm the only heathen here, so that's okay. So I got up and I went in and I said, honey, if I had anything to do with that, I'm sorry. And it broke the ice. You know, it broke the ice. But as I walked out, I'm like going, that didn't work out well. You know, and but I let it work out better, right? I did something about it. I mean, if you're at a crossroads, not a place to quit. You got to make a choice. If you look around, you just got to do something. I always tell people, if you're praying and you're letting your heart known out to God, why not do it out loud? Sometimes we talk in the car out loud, right? You'll learn to cuss again, right, in the car when the guy cuts you off. I was having a great session the other day. I was praising the Lord, and I was driving. I was like, this guy's racing me. And he's over there, and he's coming in my lane, and he cuts me off. And you just, you know, pretty soon the praise music is like, you can't even hear it anymore, right? But that's not the behavior you need, right? Because you're not going to make it to work. You're going to jail, right? So I'm that angry guy. I've had to go to anger management twice. But as you're doing these things, you want to look long-term down the road to make your decisions. I'm going to move on real quick. PowerPoint 3. Will it empower people in helping others? If the decisions you're making, the mind, the trying to get a sound mind, will it empower others to help others? I want to do that. That's one of the biggest things I've always done here. I was talking to Pastor Brad in Ventura. I want to do we're dropping a lot of internet shows, and I want to drop another one. Pastor, like I was telling you, I do my lunch break every Thursday at noon. If you haven't seen it, I'm going to play a clip here in a minute. But Ron and I have done a God Stories. So we've had 6 weeks done. He's talked about it from the pulpit, and we're going to, you know, drop these at one point. But I was talking to Brad about doing another one, you know, but about discipleship. But discipling men, discipling other people, because we're all about helping others. You know, one of the things that I can't do is I can't go to my grave and look around and not see Tom being able to do what he is. That's why he and I are at Northwest together. I'm discipling him how to run the church over at Northwest. You know, I tell him I'm trying to get a smaller footprint over there because I want to help others to help others. My wife was listening to a superintendent. She was listening to a video Zoom meeting. And there was a guy named Dr. Rios, and he told his story. And it was mesmerizing to me, because he said he checked out of school between the 3rd and the 11th grade. And I'm thinking, she just called him Dr. Rios. You got to get back in school sometimes. And he says there was one teacher that missed him. Now, that's a lot of years. He was getting into trouble. He was going to juvenile hall. But this one teacher wanted to get to the root problem, why he wasn't going to school. And as he said, this one teacher who wouldn't give up on him found out that he needed glasses and they couldn't afford glasses. because he couldn't see the board. She got him a pair of glasses. Wasn't a hard thing, but it took a lot of effort to find out that that was a problem. She didn't say, if you don't go to school, you're going to go to jail. She says, if you go to school, you might get to the White House. Just a different thought, isn't it? She was helping him. And Dr. Rios says that dream happened when President Obama was in office and his son got to high-five the president, because going back to school, getting his current position, got him to the White House. But it was because of one teacher did that. I got a video clip I want to show you from our lunch break show. And right after that, I'm going to bring Adrian out. So just enjoy this. It's about helping others.
Well, I think it might be a good time to get a video, kind of a proof text to this. We have a video that was called in this morning from somebody.
Hi, my name is Tiffany Touchstone, and I'm the superintendent and principal out at Elk Hill School District. And I just want to share my personal experience with Kicks for Kids. So Jonelle came out to visit our school a couple weeks ago because we are planning an event on October 29th. We're pairing it with our annual trunk or treat and costume parade that we're having at the school, which has been a tradition for years. And Jonelle will be out here with Kicks for Kids, handing out shoes to our kids. So we came out to see the grounds, and it was kind of funny because the first thing one of the middle school boys asked me was, is he a football player? So I thought that was cute. But anyway, they naturally gravitated to Jonelle. So he just has that charisma and personality for students. I think especially we were out there with middle school kids and they just really took to him. So anyway, as the tour went on and he, you know, met our staff and walked around, he had a pair of Air Jordans. And I wasn't in the cafeteria when this took place, but there was one student selected to get this pair of shoes. And I know he has a backstory to this as well. And so I couldn't have thought of a more grateful, deserving student that got these shoes. The way it worked out, it was just crazy. He was so proud of these shoes that he took them off and put them back in the box. And he said, I don't want anyone touching them. They are going to stay neat and clean. And he still won't even wear them to school on a regular day. He said they're for special occasions. So he's so excited. From there, I mean, this kid was just the talk of the school for the week. Especially amongst the middle school students the boys. When they would run into me or our community coordinator, they kept asking, what can we do to get a pair of those? And, you know, I told them about the event and we're processing that paperwork. I said, you know, you can upgrade your shoes from Kicks for Kids by getting good grades and making honor roll. So they are already so excited and working towards getting their grades up so that they can participate and not just get a pair of shoes, which they're going to get on the 29th, but to then prove and that they can do well in school and upgrade them to a nicer pair. Yeah. So it has just sparked a bunch of excitement, and I think the 29th will even make it more of a school-wide event and just spread like wildfire through here. So we're very excited for what Jonelle brings and his organization. So shout out to Kicks for Kids.
Sweet.
Yeah. Hey, I got to meet that girl.
Yeah. I heard Pastor Tom has a thing for that superintendent over there.
Oh, man. She's looking hot.
Is his wife, everybody, before we get canceled.
Thank you for bringing it. Joined in before, after she announced her name.
Yeah, let me see.
Maybe that's the TikTok moment.
That's too good. That's too funny. That's good.
So what happened is, as Jonelle came out there, my wife came home and she says, how do you know who to give the shoes to? I go, I'll ask him, but I'm pretty much sure it's the Holy Spirit. She goes, how could he figure out that kid? So I talked to John, and he goes, oh, the Holy Spirit was telling me that. So my wife started getting names. All the little boys would come into her office, and they would say, how do we get on the principal's list? And so she would put them down, so she handed them to the teachers, and the teacher was like, this is a joke, right? These are all the troublemakers. and they now want to get good grades? But it's what inspires people to do better. Doesn't matter, does it? John L. is out there. He's making a difference. And if I can help that, we can help that. And kids just want to do better. And John L.'s got more stories. So I've got Adrian here with me today. And Adrian's going to talk about, Adrian, give him a shout out. He's helping me. He's actually going to be on with me tomorrow at lunch break at noon, or you can rewatch it. But we have Kerry Ryan on. He owns Action Sports tomorrow.
And this is Kerry Ryan's bike right here, his very old bike.
So my point four here tonight is letting go of something could seem like a death. Can it? Bible says he moves us from glory to glory. And that where we're going from may not be a bad thing. I've done that always in my ministries. I've always left something to go to something else, but it doesn't mean where you're leaving is bad. So I had Adrian on our show about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Before the race. And it's funny when you get around a lot of top athletes, because Adrian's one of the top athletes on time trials, that you can tell that they've been, as they gear up to an event, they don't think with all their faculties, right?
No, your brain just goes into race mode.
And so on the show, I was like, I bet something dies on this track.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Even when I show up to the race, I told Wesley, which thank you, Wesley, for all your help out there. I told him, I said, I want you to know something's going to die in me out there. It's going to end. And not me, though, but something inside of me is going to die, because it's a 12-hour race and you want to do at least 200 miles out there. And you're going to be in this bike, which is really fancy, but super uncomfortable, super painful. But you're going to be in that position for hours and you're just going to keep pedaling. And that's it's a lot like Paul, he lost a lot of what was inside of him to be the man that God wanted him to be. And I knew when I was out there pedaling, there was that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And every athlete, even if you ran a 5K, you know what this feels like, where you get to this point in the middle and your body starts to shut down and tell you lies about the burrito you ate last night. Your foot starts telling you it's crooked. Your toe goes numb. Something happens out there. Well, I was at about a mile 142. And I was out there, and we did have bad burritos the day before. Me and Wesley, actually, a bunch of athletes got food poisoning.
Oh,
it was horrible. But I held it, and I was sitting under this tree because my body was starting to fail me. My stomach was going crazy. And I remember sitting there going like, okay, God, is this the moment something's going to die? Because I definitely feel like something's dead inside of me. But is this the moment? And so I sat there, and it was funny because these flies, were just flying all around me. Because I actually stopped. And I was in the shade, and I was like, I can't even get comfortable when I stop. And I was like, yep, this is the moment. So I get back on my bike and I start pedaling. And God just starts revealing right then and there. And he goes, Adrian, you are just in the middle. And I said, I know, Lord. I still got quite a ways to go, though. And he says, yeah, but you're just in the middle. I want you to keep going. And he started to reveal that in my life, and this is what died out there, guys, was that desire to quit in the middle.
Mm.
Could you imagine if the Apostle Paul would have quit right in the middle? And then after that, I just said, I'm not quitting, God. I'm going to go all the way to the end. And what helped me get to the end is what a lot of athletes do in the middle of very difficult times. Instead of looking at the really big goal that's really far away, you start making little short ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to just say, okay, one more lap. If I can just get one more lap, keep my speed up, keep going. And I would get to Wesley, and Wesley would give me that look like, you need to go faster, man. I thought you were a champion. And I just kept going, though. I kept pushing. And it was so awesome because you almost want to cry when the race is over, because if something dies in you, because you're in a battle and you're in the middle, then that means something new can come to life in you. Something new. And I knew at that moment, right at the end, I just put my hand, I told Wesley, I was like, I'm done, this is it. I passed 200 miles. I actually did an extra 4 miles because I just wanted to be awesome. So I did an extra 4 miles, and I put my hands in my handlebars, and I just said, thank you, God. Thank you. And you got to acknowledge God. You know, when you make it from the middle to the end of something, even if it's not the ultimate end, you got to thank God for getting there.
Yes.
And I think that's where Paul was at, you know, in his story. He was trying to encourage others by saying, yeah, I'm in the middle, but I'm still getting there every day.
Yes.
Exactly where I need to be. And I would say from this story, from the race, what came to life in me is more of that desire to reach the end of every day.
You got to finish it. You know, if you're out there, and whether it's a marriage, maybe you're in a program, you got to finish it. You know, maybe you're in school, you're in a job, you got to finish it, right? And in the beginning of it, it's all great, right? First day at a new job, yay! After 10 years, bad bosses that you think, you know, I mean, God uses circumstances everywhere to do that. So you can't, like Paul, I'm going to say if I live on, I'm going to be fruitful for your benefit. Because heaven's approaching, right, for all of us. You know, just live long enough, you know. But being part of that, being in the middle. As he told me, I asked Adrian, so how do you train for a 12-hour race? He says, I have a C-train in my backyard, and so I put a pair of headphones on, and I go out there, and I shut the door and just ride. I go, so you just tell your wife I'll see you in 12 hours? I mean, my wife was like, what are you going to do? But that's commitment, too. And I look at what Adrian puts into that. I look what I did in athletics. You know, God doesn't ask a lot of us, does he? Pray for people, encourage people, stay in the fight, be an example to people. Those are the things that you're in the fight for. Adrian's going out with me, and actually he's been in charge of this event we have out at Elk Hill School on Friday, where we're going to be part of that. And Adrian's presenting to them a community garden that he's put together for them for the school. So the kids are going to be able to plant their vegetables. My wife is so excited next year they can plant pumpkins.
Yeah,
and watch them grow. Awesome. And it's just the whole process is helping other people. I love what Josh said. Well, I think it was a couple weeks ago. He says, when you guys buy candy on Sunday night, buy the good stuff. Right? The kids will remember. If they're going to toilet paper somebody's house, it might be the one that bought the cheap candy. I don't know. But it affected me. I was at Costco the other day, and I came back with a Fat Daddy, you know, a bag, and I came back with a smaller one. My wife goes, which one's for the church? I go, the big one. I go, we're giving the church the best, but I bought another one of the quality candy, yeah, you know, that she can, that we can give out to the kids, because I want them to know, hey, that's the house that gave out the good candy, you know? So.
Yeah, and it's perfect for today, because maybe you're not hitting 200 miles today, but we all have our challenges. Yes. We all have our difficulties. And if you look at it as I'm just in the middle, I'm going to get there, but I'm just in the middle. Acknowledge where you're at. You know, in Genesis, in the very beginning, the first problem that ever came into existence, the question God asked Adam was, where are you? Mm-hmm. You think God didn't know where he was at? It was for him. Yeah. It's for us to look at where we're at. Acknowledge God, and know we will finish. We will.
We will. I thought you were going to the part where Adam said it was a woman you gave me. Didn't Adam do that? I mean, I still lay the burden on Adam. You know, it's like, where was he? You know, when the snake was talking to his wife.
Yeah.
You know, guys, if there's a serpent talking to your wife, get in between it. Seriously, gals, don't talk to snakes. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? You know, so Adrian, let's go ahead and pray us out.
And, Father, I just thank you for this opportunity. I thank you, God, that we made it to Wednesday night.
Yes.
And you showed up, Lord. And I just pray that the message of tonight would go with us, that we'd be able to walk in faith, knowing that wherever we're going with you, Lord, is to a finish line.
Yes.
Is to where we have arrived. And Lord, I pray for those souls that are in here tonight, that they're looking to you and they want more of you. And I pray that if you draw on their heart tonight, Lord, they would come up here and accept you as their Lord and their Savior. I pray these things because you're a good God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hey, you guys have a great evening. And Sunday we have first and third Pastor Josh and second Pastor Ron. So bring your Bibles if you're coming a second. God bless.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is our love.